$58 million in loans. July 31st of 86, there was $3,480,000,000, there was a drop of 78.1.
Good. Do we have a copy of that?
Yes, sir.
That you're reading from? Good. As long as I'm anxious to take notes. Senator Hannon,
Are you done?
No, sir.
So that's from July 1 of 85 to December 31 of 86. And during that time, that's from the time that this current biennium started until just about the time we came into session. And this current biennium started out with started out 25 field examiners, now you got 18, and now these changes that you're talking about making now, how many field examiners would that take away?
I believe five additionals.
Is it four or five?
Senator,
you haven't decided, okay.
We made a proposal, and Mr. Weeks has got some information that I've not seen yet, nor is Mr. Long, so I'm not sure what's coming from.
So you've gone down $78 million out of 3,558.
Total assets shift has been $44.9 million reduction in that same time period, Senator.
What is that, 71.8?
That's loans.
Well, that's loans. Yeah. So it's 44.9 million drop.
Yes, Senator.
Out of 3,558, is that is a billion, a thousand million? Well, that's not a very big percentage drop in the amount of assets you're supervising. I don't have my calculator, it's out in my car, but
it strikes me to put, I'm not trying to interrupt the train of thought, but I think we ought to add one other element to this, unless I'm not following, but it seems to me that, granted, there isn't much change in the asset that the agency is managing. However, the proposal before us tends to deal with trying to get in front of the problem and deal with about $1 million cash flow problem, and it sounds to me as though the theory that the present program or the previous program was operated on was that we'll continue to cut field examiners until we've cut them clear down to zero, and we still have something near the same amount of assets, but we've got, you know, a level of management folks, and that's it. Is it not true that what this plan really attempts to do is get in front of the cash problem, as opposed to dealing with
sounds to me like we're running low on feed for the pig, so we're going to stick him.
Well, I've chased cows, and so has Representative Doan,
yeah.
And I'll tell you can chase a herd all day until you get in front of them.
I've chased stuck pigs out and around in the cornfield too.
Is that not true, Denny? If you got to turn them, you got to get in front of them. At any rate, it seems to me that there's one other element that we've been told here, and the reason for the plan is that we've got to set aside the ratios that we've used heretofore and deal with the fact that we're out of money, and then figure out how to deal with the management question.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I don't know beans about supervising banks. Most of what I know about is what I've been reading in the newspapers in the last couple of years. If this indeed is an important function, right now, which we seem to have an ongoing crisis in the state with our banking system.
In the United States. In the United States.
In the United States, yeah. We're not alone.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard, the last budget we were talking about, the real estate division. It sounds like real estate is maybe starting to pick up a little bit, but I haven't read those same rosy reports yet about banks. And
I haven't either.
You listed off those alternatives, and as you listed them, you told us why all the others were absolutely impossible. Obviously, we can't can't run the budget out of balance. When you say it's going to go broke in August, you preface that by saying cash flow.
Right.
So by August, you would be spending the money faster than it's allocated.
Right.
You wouldn't have exhausted the two-year allocation.
No, I just made that as a point for you to understand why you wouldn't take a business into a cycle with that kind of a problem. That's when you open in July, and in August you're out of money and got to go borrow. That isn't a good way to run this division, and I didn't want to do that. And that's why we're here, and I'm sorry to bring you the problem this way without very good solution.
Let me ask this question. What is your fix about your thinking about the capacity of the state of Oregon to play the role that let me ask a preliminary question. How many did we have a lot fewer bank examiners back 7-8 years? This is something where we dramatically built it up, and now we're proposing to go back?
I don't think so. Somebody else may have a better institutional memory than I do, but
Mr. Wiggs.
Mr. Chairman, maybe between Ms. Hader and I, we can pool our collective histories. But I think we did, in fact, really jack up the number of examiners as a result of the interim study that was done in 83, 85. Mm-hmm. Some of you may remember we had a tremendous problem then. And there was an interim study which resulted in several new positions, most of which I think were bank examiners, to try to address the problems that were identified during that interim study. And so, yeah, in fact, we did have a real rise in that number, and now it's having to decline.
Well, the
concern, I guess, the concern is satisfying the public that we as a state have sufficient personnel to get a handle on the security of folks' deposits. Get right down to it.
That's right. And the ratchet effect that we're in here is you have increased costs on a declining ability to pay. Even if the decline isn't as dramatic as you think, you move one or two big institutions under federal supervision because we quickly and without a lot of thought and study and consultation raise fees to a point where it doesn't make sense for them, and the program comes down.
What kind of total amount of the costs of doing business are these fees? We hear a lot about the costs of business. I pay a big malpractice myself. I know there are costs, but there are costs and there are costs. The phone costs less than the rent, and so on. Is this, are we talking, what? How does this fit in the magnitude of the cost of a bank?
Mr. Aronson?
Kraken, Senator Wires, the projected revenue for the only banking in the next biennium is $950,000 a year.
That you'd get from banking fees. And what's that down from what the projection was 2 years ago?
In 1984, the banking division collected $2,340,064 in revenue, from not just banks, no savings and loans, credit unions, everybody we regulate.
Are you comparing apples to apples then?
I am, yes. 1985 actual was $1,955,602.
$1,900,000.
1980.
For 85 is what you got?
Yes. 1986 actual was $1,798,000.
So you're talking about $100,000 some drop.
Over 100.
But that's interesting because that isn't all that much. But my question wasn't that at all. It was how big an impact on a bank is it to pay these fees? How much is a given bank paying as opposed to what they're paying for other things? We don't want to raise such a big fee, we run the banks out of town, out of state. But on the other hand, we don't want to say, oh, we can't raise the fee, or because what did you base, Mr. Long, your decision along that line on?
Here's how I approached it. I want to say again carefully what it is I've said. I don't want to raise fees today for the purpose of meeting this budget hearing schedule without an opportunity to do a lot more talking and so forth than I've had since last Thursday.
And you have the authority to do that without legislative approval.
That's exactly right. But, and I want you to understand what the considerations are. As I, the picture I have today is that Oregon State chartered banks tend to look at this of what is the business climate for us here and what is it here. And I want to understand the decision that they'd make a lot better than I do now before I'd propose to raise fees. If I have to meet this budget schedule, this is the response.
Well, do you have authority to... we have to give you authority to spend the money if you're going to raise the fees. Can that be gotten from the emergency board, including creating new FTEs?
Yeah, that's possible.
That's correct.
Well, let's just... we have a fiscal report to receive on this. I didn't understand you to say that the subcommittee's schedule is driving your decision to propose these cuts, did I?
No, I don't.
It's just at this point in time,
that's right.
At this slice, this is the decision you'd make.
Okay. Yeah, and
we have not been aware of the magnitude of this.
I understand.
And you say you were aware of it sometime last week.
Thursday.
You.
That's right.
So you have manager problems.
That's right.
Okay. Now, since this has not been exposed to the public, there are people in the room, and I will ask them if they care to say anything on the record, and I will invite them, even though we're in a work session. Is there anyone who wishes to say anything in public?
I want to ask Mr. Long one more question before you do that. Can I? There is a bill, now correct me, is it to license mortgage brokers or mortgage bankers? Would that drive this? That could cause another flying ointment.
I'm not corporations division. There'd be corporations division, Senator.
Is that corporations?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't want to have some other hidden thing out here that might impact something we're trying to help with too.
Yeah, I really appreciate the committee's frustration with wanting to know how is it going to turn out and what the long range look like. And I haven't been able to find the words to say it clearly enough that the alternatives are, the simple statement is the budget doesn't work the way it's laid out, and I recognize it doesn't work, and I'm telling you that it doesn't work, and telling you that we're going to try to make it work between now and June, or come up with some other way, some other approach. That's the best I can do with the problem that we discovered on Thursday.
Okay, now, sit on my stand. All right, Senator Wires. I'm sure you also appreciate concern that 90 legislators have when only a few of them are on the emergency board. They can't very well go home and say, I hear you totally about 1 week, but I don't hear you totally about June, okay?
Right.
Because we can't go home in June and say, they're working on it. And if they get a solution while we're gone or a big problem, they'll bring it to the emergency board and we'll be taken care of. Among other things, flies counter to the still thing we have, which is a citizen legislature that only meets 6 months every 2 years. And so we have to participate with you and do what we're going to do so we can explain it before the session's over. That's
and
all I'm getting at.
Whatever it takes to do that. And given the choice of things, we need to go on from here. I've come to the conclusion that a reduced budget is the best risk of the courses to take for now, because we won't be triggering that budget for a few months at least, and I can get a better handle in a month than I can in a week on the problem. I'm sure there would be some way, if better information shows us that we've made, you know, an error, I'm sure I can get back to this legislature before you go home in June. We may learn when we have some better workload measures and so forth developed, we may learn that this budget isn't as scary as is the reduction.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know whether I'm dealing with something that was out of scale in the first place and it's now just getting into scale. I can't make that judgment, and there's apparently no one around that can help make it.
Well, I keep wanting to shut up, but I keep feeling like we're having
having a meeting here and people are going to go out of the meeting, particularly the ones sitting in this circle right here. And I just have to say right now, that's a real hard approach for me. And my analogy, I think I would hold though, if you run along the speed, with the pigs, you stick the pig.
I agree. Senator Wires, I agree.
Examiners in crisis, I just can't see even explaining between now and June to people that I voted to eliminate a bunch more bank examiners.
Well, Senator Wires, this is too new to me and to the committee. I think that I'm not prepared, unless Mr. Weeks has some magic solution that he can pull out of a hat to buy this today. I mean, this is... Well, the word shocking has been used before. It's just shocking.
We were warned of it.
Yeah, I know, but we just weren't told. You know, and I guess Mr. Long wasn't told either. I'll repeat my invitation. Just want to make sure we're being fair. No one wants to talk. The record will show an invitation was made. People attending the hearings. Oh, Mr. Barrows did decide to. Ah. Just at the time Mr. Browner walked in.
Dave Barrows representing the savings loan.
Mr. Barrows.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the courtesy. I'm now confused about what the chairman has just said in the sense of the timing of this thing. I was hopeful to hear Mr. Weeks' reaction to this, his proposal that he was going to lay before the committee. And then as the committee began to move in a direction, perhaps it would be more appropriate or helpful to the committee at that time to get in rather than musing about a whole variety of options that you may not even be interested in looking at. So if I may reserve the right, Mr. Chairman, that's what I'm asking.
We usually let LFO come at the end, but
it's fair enough.
But it's fair enough. All right, we'll proceed.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask, maybe in fairness, the folks that Mr. Barrows represents, the proposal that at least the reduction plan that's been provided to us is obviously fairly fresh off the press. Have you not had an opportunity to discuss it in any detail or get a chance to see it, or where does that stand in the scheme of things?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thorne, I have been in conversation with a bit of a conversation since last Thursday with the staff of the department and the division, and I have had reported to me what Mr. Weeks will present to the subcommittee. If I understand Mr. Weeks' proposal accurately, as to the savings and loan section, or that portion of the savings and loan section that belongs to the savings and loans, we are in support of that.
Well, that's fair enough. If we got a problem to solve that's much bigger than what we thought, it's probably fair enough to deviate from the norm long enough to see what else. Obviously, by the time we get done with you, you'll have no hair left here.
Mr. Weeks, you're on the hot seat.
Spirit Catcher Weeks is here to help.
Mr. Chairman, let me start off by saying Senator Wires has been struggling, I think, with the same thing that we've been struggling with, and that is how do you come up with some workload assessment? And I know Mr. Long has been struggling with that too, because you can't really look at assets and just say the assets only declined 100,000, so the workload's still the same. When they go in to examine a bank might have a very large asset pool and be a quality bank. It's a well-run, good bank. The examination may take a short period of time. Another bank with a much smaller asset pool could be terribly managed and require a lot more of their time. So their data on that is not as good as we might like to have it be. We were looking at how many man days does it normally take to examine a bank, and how many banks do we have to examine. For example, one of the things I was looking at is we've got 57 banks. Each has to be examined by law once every 24 months. So you got to do 28 banks a year. It takes, on an average, 10 to 11 man days, or no, 60 man days to examine a bank. So then you sit back and say, if we have X number of auditors, or how many number of auditors do we need to examine 28 banks at 60 man days for each one of those? And that's only one way of looking at it, but I say this in the sense that I want to present to you the dilemma you have in trying to figure out, can you cut five examiners or six examiners or so on? And I think we and Mr. Long are fairly close in terms of the kind of reduction that might be necessary, but we're off maybe in some other areas. And there are two questions that you've got to answer. One is, what do we do now? How do we keep this thing moving forward? And that is, reduce the operations and stay within the cash flow. Because even under the proposal that you have now from Mr. Long, you don't have enough cash coming in. So you have to go out and borrow from the Treasury and pay interest to the Treasurer, which exacerbates your problem of not having enough.
Even with $1 million in cuts, over $1 million.
Even with over $1 million in cuts, it's because of the cycle of how the fees come in, and they're different for savings and loan, credit unions, banks, consumer finance outfits, and that's one of the things that I'm sort of jumping ahead in my presentation, but a lot to look at in the long run is, do we want to bring these fee schedules all together so that we have a single fee schedule, say, whatever it is, January 1 or April 1 or whatever, and thereby have a better picture of what our revenue is going to be? That's just one of the questions out in the future. So you got to answer the question, what do we do now, short term, and what do we do long term? And the long term question seems to me to have at least one other question in that related to it, and that's, what's the appropriate role of all the parties in the long term decision? Now, what's presented to you here is a request to reduce the budget by 13 positions, about $1 million, and then let management deal with the problem and presumably bring you back a long-term solution either 2 years from now or possibly at an e-board if an e-board action is required or if they feel the need to report to you. That's what
they're going
to
promise. There are no bank closures between now and then.
I don't think they do that, Senator Wires, Mr. Chairman, but that's what's proposed to you now. In our look at the thing, we've come up, as I said earlier, with about the same level of cuts, about $1 million. I guess we would, though, submit that you could do it somewhat differently. That is, take more from S&S cuts and try to preserve some of the management positions you have. If you're trying to work on a long-term solution, you're going to be handicapped in that effort if you get rid of your top management, because then you'll ask the Indians, how do we run this program? And maybe in some instances that would be good, but in this particular one, you ought to have your management around at least long enough to decide what your long-term solution is going to be. So we would suggest that you take a little deeper cuts in service and supplies, try to preserve the credit union position and the main administrator's position, and take off on the examiners. And in the thing that I've worked out, you reduce your examiners from 18 in banking down to 13, so that would take five examiners away. And again, I wish I had the workload measures to justify that. In the rough calculations I've done, I think we could manage for some short period of time with that that level of examination service. There'd also have to be reductions in some of the clerical and support service people. There'd have to be some reductions in your data processing staff. Now, I've talked with the data processing staff in the central office of the department, Ron Olson, who visited with you earlier. We think we can cover their DP requirements through the central processing to the extent that we'd have to. So we can probably absorb those DP cuts without too much disruption. But anyway, a combination of these cuts produces about $1 million and yet preserves the top administrator's position and one other administrator's position that was originally scheduled for elimination. I'm not especially comfortable with this because, again, we don't have any more background or information than Mr. Long does to make his estimates, but I think we are coming up to about the same conclusion in terms of how much would have to be reduced. Now, so that there's a short-term problem. Now, to deal with the cash flow, instead of borrowing from the Treasurer, we'd suggest to you that we once again tap our friends the barbers and hairdressers who have a large ending balance, and not tap them in the same way we did 2 years ago, which was an irrevocable tap, but a tap that says, let's use their ending balance or a portion thereof to manage our cash flow problem. So it'd be transfer out of barbers and hairdressers and then transfer back in at the end of the binding. So there would be no loss of money to the barbers and hairdressers. This is creative, I understand, but think of it as pragmatic also.
You've been doing so well.
I knew the barbers would give you.
Well, I knew we were in trouble yesterday when I went back to see him, and he was in with, I don't know if it was Barrows or Pryor, you know, his rationality weakens.
Anyway, if you were to borrow or use, maybe use is a better term, the barbers and hairdressers' money, you avoid the... You avoid the interest that you
steal.
You avoid the interest that you would have paid to the state treasurer. The downside of that is the barber and hairdresser's money produces general fund interest income for which you'd lose. So that's the downside of that. Okay, I've given you the short term thing. Now the long term question, which is probably where we part company with Mr. Long, is to say that the legislature has a role in resolving the long or putting together a long-term solution to this problem, and the legislature's role might best be achieved by giving this agency a one-year budget with the requirement that or with the request, I should say, to the leadership that the appropriate interim committee study the financing, the fee schedule, the management structure, the examination structure, all those issues, and report to the emergency board on funding for the second year of the binding for this particular division. Now, we have very, very great differences of opinion, I think, in the benefits of that between Mr. Long and myself, but it does bring the legislature into the picture. I think that it gives a message to the industry which says we're not going to have business as usual, and I don't say that with any disrespect to Mr. Long, because I know he's interested in changes, but it says to the industry, we're not just going to cut this budget and run for 2 years with it. We're going to make the reductions that allow us to operate, and we're going to look at it at some length and in some detail and come back with a longer-term resolution to the problem. So that's what we're recommending to you at this point. If not interim study, minimal requirement ought to be emergency board appearance and a report to the emergency board on the changes that Mr. Long intends to implement.
But Senator Wires was pointing out that he felt the problem was larger than he wanted to necessarily trust the emergency board with. Not he as a person, but he, you know, as a member of this body, wanted to confer upon the board. Is that correct, Senator Wires?
I might feel more comfortable than somebody who isn't on Ways and Means. I was thinking of that, too.
Yeah, more sure.
Just the system around here is you've got to take your whack during the 6 months. And if you don't, you duck it.
Mr. Long?
I guess that I appreciate Mr. Weeks' comments. I'd rather explain my own view, if I could, about legislative oversight in this area. I've given it a lot of thought and reflected on in my conversation with Mr. Weeks and sought the advice of others. I don't want this problem to be around a year from now, if at all possible. I think that's the first thing. If a solution can be found quicker, it isn't a question of a full legislature versus Ways and Means. It's a question of, if we're going to make some changes, I'd rather try to do it now and have a schedule that would permit that now. Believe me, if there's something that becomes clear before this legislature adjourns, we'll be back to a substantive committee if we can get in one. I realize we're going to be beyond deadlines and so forth, but I don't have any problem with that at all. I just don't want to commit to doing that after having this problem for this short length of time. 1 year budget's fine. I don't think it makes any difference whether you say 1 year or two. I am committed to try to find some kind of a solution to this so there's some stability in the program, whatever size it is, long before a year elapses. I don't think we can go on borrowing money from whatever source and so forth. I mean, that just isn't any way to run this company. And I don't want to be committed to an interim study that will surely take a year or two. I don't want to push the solution out that long.
But the interim study could be launched, you know, now during session. The questions could be shaped and formed by a substantive committee on each in each house.
And let me say this.
Finished off, you know, early in the interim.
Please consider this. The management of this division, and I'm not speaking of the division administrator who's been there 7 months, the management of commerce, let's put it that way, is not in a position today to even begin that conversation on the kind of basis that you'd want to do it on. I want to have some time to get some information and some work done before that even commences. And I mean, I want to emphasize that to you. You know, if you just start in the middle of the problem with 27 ideas and don't give us a chance to get some work done first, I think it makes it longer and more chaotic. So I'm in favor of a shorter time frame. I want a shorter work plan, if you can believe that, than a year. And I'd like a little room before we start.